You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This time last week marked 129 years since the invasion of Parihaka. However, New Zealand has a mixed history of remembering and commemorating the past, as well as talking about issues of racism and race relations. To start us off in a general sense, how did New Zealand culture after the New Zealand Wars historically view Māori Crown conflict, and how did they view issues of race relations in the late 19th to 20th century?
Yeah, I think we do have quite a mixed kind of history of how we remember our past, and we do so in quite selective ways. And I think we can take something like Parihaka as a good example of what's often been a source of discomfort and anxiety, as well as something which has captured our moral imagination and as well as indignation, I think, for Māori and Pākehā since 1884.
So heading into today, is this sort of imperial remembrance of things like Parihaka and the New Zealand Wars, is this part of a wider issue surrounding remembrance? Because we see events like Anzac Day marked nowadays with intense patriotism and a willingness to commemorate. How come we don't see this same attitude towards commemoration of the New Zealand Wars and events like Parihaka?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think, again, there's a lot to be said about that. To put it simply, it's much easier, and I think, and also, it's easier to celebrate conflict and heroism when it takes place overseas, when it's playing out in a kind of romantic landscape, such as Gallipoli, which has been kind of removed of some of the reality of violence, and has kind of been romanticized, but is also taking place in another place, in another overseas, where it's much harder to engage with the sites and the places of our history when it's our backyard. And so I think the complexity of sort of the story of Parihaka is that it is one that we live with, and it's the consequences we live with. You know, as I was saying there, that there are many ways of telling the story of Parihaka. But one of the ways of understanding Parihaka is the abuse of state power. It's the abuse by the state over people in New Zealand. For many New Zealanders, the state is this kind of progressive, benign thing. But that reflects a very kind of specific experience of New Zealand history, and a very selective kind of remembrance of that history, of that past. But for many Māori communities, the state is anything but benign, and in fact is something hostile and threatening and certainly not something to be trusted. And that's really encapsulated in the story of Parihaka, which is really a series of injustices, essentially, which are sanctioned by Parliament. So the detainment without trial of its main leaders, Tasiki and Tohu, and other men, was protected by Parliament. The government covers up, the rape of women at Parihaka. So that sort of reminds us, then we remembering Parihaka isn't just about what happens, what settlers did 129 years ago, but actually how do we want our society today? How do we want it in the future? What are some of the kind of ways that we need to safeguard the abuse of power, for example? There's many aspects of the story of Parihaka which I think invite those kind of questions. The importance of media, of a strong media which critiques government. A law, just because something is law and is sanctioned by Parliament, doesn't make it just. These kind of questions of the importance of religious and political freedom in New Zealand. These are, I think, issues that are all at stake at telling the story of Parihaka.
Thinking about heading into the future, the government will make the teaching of New Zealand history compulsory in schools from 2022. As you've said, is the idea of selective remembrance a factor into why it's taken this long to be made compulsory?
When you're talking about the teaching of a subject at school, you've got to think about how partly a reflection of the education system. So over next year, we're going to be having, hopefully, like a bigger conversation about, well, what are the stories that we want to tell as part of this new compulsory curriculum. It's an opportunity where New Zealanders should be, talking about, well, where does Pai Haka, where does the New Zealand Wars kind of fit in here? Because what we are emphasising through through a compulsory national curriculum is are the stories that we think all New Zealanders should know, and are these the stories that tell us something and that we want young people to learn, truthfully and honestly, to understand our society, and also reflect on our kind of convictions, I think, as New Zealanders. I suppose I would say, that often we think of these teaching history in terms of kind of the what's taught in classrooms, but it's really important that we actually think bigger than that, because some of the shifts that we're seeing, and I think the shifts that we want to see if we're to do justice to our history and to do it well, means we have to kind of think bigger, and we have to think about the public stories that we tell as New Zealanders, and that's through monuments, place names, our different public institutions. Those are conversations that we've seen in the last couple of years we've been having debates about monuments and who do we commemorate? Do we retain certain kind of public monuments that come to us from these earlier periods of New Zealand history and New Zealand society? Do we put up new ones? Do we replace them? Do we re-inscribe the meaning and the scripts around them? We can think about it broader, right? Because even this week, right, there's been kind of the proposed changes to our justice system and how things like tikanga might be better recognised in our courts, for example. And that's kind of a recognition that actually our justice system is one which is experienced as quite hostile to Māori. And it's not a place, it's kind of this that kind of ongoing story of how our institutions can often be quite hostile and alienating. And I think part of this is recognising that we have to listen and we have to get better at listening. And we have to, and it's really seeing tangata whenua as not the problem, but actually as part of the solution.
And so you're talking about sort of change happening. And so this sort of leads into my final question, Dr. Light. So what change has been happening throughout recent history to shed light on these conflicts and the disproportionate impact it's had on Māori?
It's a good question. I mean, part of this is really we have to understand how Māori communities have really worked hard to bring these stories to the public and the public sort of storytelling. I suppose when we're having these kind of conversations, New Zealanders we're not very good at talking about our past, and we're not good at, and often I think part of, we have this attitude of like, well, let's kind of move on, or why do we invest in kind of big public commemorations? You mentioned the First World War and how much emphasis we put that on the First World War and Gallipoli and Anzacs, and we saw the big, big political investment and financial investment in the centenary of the First World War. We had the 250th anniversary of Captain Cook. What those big state commemorations point, and of course, and we're kind of thinking a little bit ahead to 2040, right, where we're going to have the bicentenary of the Treaty of Waitangi. These are like big state commemorations. They're big public moments when we actually like invest a lot of time and expenses in actually having these kind of conversations. And some of them are really messy and contested, which is, I think, actually how they should be. So I suppose one thing is we have to get better at, and that's part of the change that we're seeing, is that as contested and as messy as they are, they're really valuable because they open up the space, the public spaces, to reevaluate some of the stories that we tell and have, and different New Zealanders have told over time. I think that's contributed to a new sort of sense of impetus to really grapple with how we would commemorate the New Zealand Wars. Of course, we've seen some small changes. We've seen the establishment of Rā Mahara, the day of commemoration. We've seen greater appreciation given to experiences like the Māori Battalion and the Māori Pioneers during the First and Second World War, some distinct kind of Māori experiences of 20th century conflicts. These have kind of contributed to kind of asking the question, well, where is the kind of infrastructure of how we remember the New Zealand wars? And I think these are conversations that are happening in different parts of New Zealand. You know, in our museums, we're seeing, which we really rely on to be spaces where New Zealanders can have these big, frank, open conversations about the different interpretations of our past. Museums are really important places for that to happen, because museums are ultimately meant to be about different representations. They're very different to reading a history book, which is always going to be one perspective. It's very different. So they're spaces that we need. So we should be asking questions about our museums. You know, how are you opening up to the public these, giving opportunities to the public these kind of conversations around the New Zealand wars? We should be asking that of Te Papa, of Auckland Museum. These are kind of things that we could be doing as New Zealanders.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.